Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Titans training camp, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, as players are on the field, getting ready for the first practice of the season. Looking forward to that. Chase McCabe here. Willie Donick joining us for today's show as he's got some stuff going on, and so he's going to do this show with me and talk a little Titans, and then Junie Riddle, Derek Mason will take over at 11 o'clock. You just heard from General Manager Rand Carthon as he kind of did his introductory press conference to start training camp, but Willie, got some players already out on the field. They don't officially start till 9:30, but Mike Vrabel's been out here running laps, and now some players have made their way to the field. How are you?
I am doing well. It's good to talk to you. Got a chance to hear a lot of that Rand Carthon press conference, and so it's great to have it going. We had the press conferences yesterday, so I think the table's set.
Yeah, no, I agree. And yeah, I had the opportunity to be in an event the other day that Rand Carthon was speaking at. And, you know, we're still getting to know him. You've gotten a chance to have him on the show. He may actually join at some point. But I like him. He seems like a really good guy, laid back. I think it's, he's talked about that it's kind of helpful that, he's been in this league, played in this league. Obviously, his dad coached in this league for a long time, so he kind of speaks the language and knows what the players are going through. But you can tell that there's a little bit of that excitement, kind of like a kid on his first day of school for him going into his first training camp.
He strikes me as a very secure, confident person. I like how he's handled himself for a guy in his first year as a general manager. Every setting that I've heard him in, he seems very cool, calm, and collected. He doesn't seem like he's a rookie. You know, he doesn't seem like he hasn't been doing this, especially in terms of media relations. I think he puts people at ease, even though he's had a lot of important things, big decisions that he's had to make here in this first year.
So we know that he's going to tweak the roster. He and Mike, and he made it a point to say that in the press conference, that it's a partnership with Mike Vrabel. So any player that they sign or they cut, it's a collaboration between he and Mike Vrabel. They did make a move this morning, bringing back A.J. Moore, a defensive back who was, I think it was last year, was here and played one game for the team. They waived defensive tackle Curtis Brooks. So the secondary is something that we've talked about, Willie, that – you know, that's if you have a concern on defense, it's probably the secondary and really the depth. And they bring back A.J. Moore, who they seem to like last year, and he's going to join in camp. They still haven't made any signings when it comes to the offensive line, which surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, and I think in time that will be addressed. They have time. It's a question for me of, you know, what's the bird in hand, the people in camp right now they have available, the guys they just worked out, as opposed to the probably two dozen offensive linemen that are going to get cut in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're trying to take a look at and see what's the best option, because in theory, you're only looking for depth past the sixth game, but you do need somebody to be the hero for six games. And, you know, Moore, the guy that they signed this morning, he's one of the gazillion guys that got injured last year, and yeah. I guess his season pretty much ended. And so there's always this group, you know, with everybody pushing the salary cap limits, there's always a group of several hundred players that are good enough to play in the league that are always floating around on somebody's roster, on somebody's practice squad, cut from the practice squad, added to somebody else's roster, or sitting around working out ready to get the phone call. There's always a pool of players, and it's almost like an art form being able to find the right guy for your system. So I know a lot of what goes on during training camp because everybody's got their 90 now, but that number is going to go down in just a few weeks.
Yeah, and remember they changed the rule this year that it used to be a stair step process. Now it's just 90 to 53 is what they got to get to, which I don't know if I'm obviously not the one making the moves. I mean, there's questions all the time that pop in my head that, man, I wish I could ask Floyd. If it would be easier or not, I feel like, I would rather have my full complement throughout training camp and get as much evaluation as possible and then make that cut down to 53.
Well, yeah, I'd be curious to ask, Rand, if we can get him on today, how does he feel about that? How does that change how you make your decisions? It makes the games a lot easier in terms of, having a lot of bodies and choosing who you want to give the reps to. It probably has its upside and its downside. The upside would be you get a longer look at some guys, and for the downside, you can't really clear out the locker room and start really working with the guys that are going to play ultimately. So I'd love to hear what GMs think about that, but somebody must have thought this was a good idea because they voted it in.
Well, Robbie Bourne just gave me the signal. I think we're going to have Rand Carthon coming up in the next segment. So we can ask him. We can ask him his thoughts of all of that. One thing, too, that came up yesterday, you guys played the press conference with Mike Vrabel, and it came up several times with Coach, and it came up with DeAndre Hopkins. And that is the whole practice thing, that D-Hop doesn't like to practice. This was Mike Vrabel when asked about D-Hop and his practice schedule.
Like the practice every day during the course of things in the long run?
One more time.
Paul. Is he a guy that's likely to not be an
everyday? Yeah, I'm sure that there will be days where that he's not out there. Like I'm not going to say he's going to be at every practice. There's other guys that will be in that same vein. He may do team periods, and, there were times where, Ben Jones or Jeff Simmons, came out and did team periods, or came out and did, individual work and didn't do the team periods. Just every day is something different. There's a plan that we go through each and every day with myself, with Frank, with Todd, communication with the player. So we're going to do it just like we've done it before.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on the practice schedule for DeAndre Hopkins. And I think I've decided, and even with D-Hop's answer that you could tell he wanted to say something, but he held back, that had to do with Houston and probably Bill O'Brien, that this has just been blown out of proportion, and maybe it's just something we don't even need to worry about anymore.
I'll believe that when I see it. I think we have to watch it play out before we decide one way or the other. DeAndre Hopkins said it himself. He goes, he thinks it's overblown. He said, I don't think you can have the kind of numbers I've had without practicing, but it does sound like we have to get used to it. But I think everybody here is so, I guess we have in our mind what this looks like with Julio Jones, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to play out the same way. Let's hope that this has a much different feel to it. And I think the key difference is, and Derek and I talked about this a lot yesterday, is there is a relationship from the start. This goes way back. Mike Vrabel and DeAndre Hopkins and Tim Kelly have known each other for a long, long time. And so that ought to help.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm looking. I don't see DeAndre. I know it came up that he had a family thing that he had told them about.
They said
from the beginning,
yesterday
so.
That he, yeah, to prepare. He's not going to be out there.
Yeah. So, and that's fine. But they have everybody else out here. The quarterbacks are warming up right now. Mike Vrabel, you'd laugh at this, Willie. I wish D-Mace had been here because we're getting set up and everything. And I look and I see this guy jogging just end zone to end zone, and it was Mike Vrabel. I'm like, wonder if D-Mace would get out there with him and maybe race the head coach a little bit.
Hey, man, you got to be loose. You got to be loose, ready. You know how Vrabel, he likes to work with those guys. He likes to get the hand fighting going and, go through the drill. So I'm sure he's got to acclimate to the heat like everybody else.
So where are you? You're with Mahoney Donick. I know he's playing baseball. So where are the Donicks currently?
We are in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Okay. So last night we went over to the campus and looked around some. We actually walked in. I hope the surveillance cameras didn't catch us. We walked into Tiger Stadium and looked around. It's an unbelievable structure that I hadn't been to in a long, long time. When I was the sideline reporter for Vanderbilt, I got a chance to do a game down here, and it is quite the spectacle for sure. So just going through there, we looked at Pete Maravich Assembly Center and went over and looked at Alex Box, the new baseball stadium, which is different from when I was the old Alex Box, which was a great place to play. It looks like a AAA palace where the baseball team that just won the national championship plays. It is beautiful. I had never seen it before. It is big time. And so the tournament that Mahoney's playing in down here, the big games are going to be played at that field. So that's a big thrill. It's called the Marucci World Series. So there's a bunch of teams down here on the travel circuit.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, has Mahoney pitched yet, or when is he playing?
Not yet. It might be today. There's a chance it could be tomorrow, but I think it's probably going to be today.
Well, awesome. Well, good luck to him. Enjoy Baton Rouge. I've been to New Orleans, but I've never been to Baton Rouge, so I need to mark that off because I'd really love to go to a game at LSU.
Well, definitely plan on, if you're driving, having enough gas to get from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, because there's not much in between. It's about an hour drive, and we found that out when we were coming in the other night, coming in late at night. We were looking for gas between point A and point B, and there wasn't much there.
Well, D-Mace will be happy to know the wide receivers are right in front of our tent, so whenever he gets here, he can start his evaluation of all the wideouts, as we're literally right in front of us. We might catch one. Who knows? But we're live today, Titans training camp. Chase McCabe here. Willie Donick is in Baton Rouge, as you heard. And I want to thank our Titans training camp sponsors as we're here today and Friday. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will be here as well. Presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Cottle Vet Clinic. So appreciate them for being on board. I believe we are going to be joined by Titans general manager Rand Carthon here in the next few minutes. Things a little fluid today, first day of practice as it usually is, but hopefully we have a chance to chat with him. And just saw Willie Big 22 just walked onto the field, or jogged, I should say. So, it's funny. He's been here for a long time now, but you still just, when you see his size, how big he is, you still kind of get blown away by that.
Yeah, well, it's good to know that he's out there. That's with all the drama going on with running backs these days, it's just we discussed this yesterday on our show, Jace, the fact that they have avoided all of the pitfalls of being a running back and a top running back. It says a lot about Derrick Henry and also the respect that the Titans have for Derrick Henry. They've gone against the grain. And, you know, for better or worse, there are probably some analytics people saying they're paying Derrick Henry too much for what he is. But I think they're happy to pay him every dime because of what he's all about. But the other thing is they've avoided the headache and the holdouts and the franchise tag and all of this stuff. They've gotten through it relatively simple. And he's been paid what he's deserved. And you know, he's ready to roll this year.
We're, again, live today, Titans training camp at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick. We hope to talk to Rand Carthon here in just a little bit. But coming up next, we'll talk some wide receivers because I got a few things that come to mind as we watch them warm up. Live today at training camp, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Live today, Titans training camp, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Willie Donick is in Baton Rouge. We are pleased to be joined by the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, Rand Carthon, who has been nice enough to walk over to our table. We're waiting on our wide receiver while watching wide receivers. But, Rand, What does this feel like, first training camp as a GM?
It's funny you ask. A really good friend of mine hit me up yesterday and said I should do one of those kid chalkboards, like first day of school, and do one for, you know, first training camp as GM. Like we were talking about off air, I'm just trying to pace myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get too excited too soon and you crash at one point. But I'm very excited to see all 91 guys out here and just to get back to football. Just as a pure football fan, nothing more, nothing less. I'm just glad to get back to football.
You got 90 on the roster, but you're in the tweaking stage. That, you know, you're going to see guys that either haven't signed with the team, like you got D-Hop late, and then maybe get cut from a team. You sign A.J. Moore this morning, who was with this team last year, went through training camp, played one game, got hurt. What'd you see from him that you felt like he was going to help you right now?
And you mean A.J.?
A.J., yeah.
Oh, yeah, A.J.'s, you know, he's a proven special teams player in this league and gives us quality depth at safety. And so it's just another way to improve our unit, you know. You know, we're always looking to grow our roster and make a more competitive roster. So that was one of the things we've charged the scouts with. You know, let's keep churning, you know, this roster. Let's keep flipping and getting, you know, getting guys in, getting guys out, just to allow us to not only put the best 90, you know, together, but also the best 53 when it's time to make those decisions.
DeAndre Hopkins comes in here. I know that you're excited to get that deal done and get him signed. But how special was it to have him here yesterday and be able to get him in front of everybody?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, we were just upstairs during the press conference, and they asked what was that process like, and it was just a month-long date. It's a month-long courtship, and, you know, we were able to get the deal done. You know, so it wasn't just us and personnel. Like I've said, you know, I want to make sure I keep reiterating, you know, we had help from people inside the building and then just the city of Nashville. You know, he came during CMA Fest and had a really great time. He wanted to see his guy, Tim McGraw, you know, perform. And so we were able to make that happen. And then just the city of Nashville just showing up and just showing what, you know, what the city has to offer him outside of the football.
We're talking to Ray Carthon, Titans general manager, and Rand, along those lines, I think people would be curious to know that the inside of this. In college, you know, we have this image of recruiting trips. You know, you show them around, you take them to a nice dinner, you meet the guys, you go out of the frats or whatever it is. What is the difference between the college recruiting process and the pro recruiting process? Where you get a guy that's a lot older, professional, he knows what's going on here, but still you want to have that personal touch.
Yeah, and in today's game it's very rare that you get the opportunity to do what you just described as a recruiting trip. You know, a lot of times, you know, and you look at the that 3-day negotiation window, you know, it's about guys, you typically go to the highest bidder. You know, and so it's very rare that you get the opportunity to do a recruiting trip. And so for us, you know, we feel like we're in a unique spot because we're in one of the, you know, most unique cities, you know, in the NFL in Nashville. And you can look around the city in the offseason and you can see about, you know, a quarter of the NFL here already, you know. And so it was good for us to be able to get players. If we can get players here and show what the city of Nashville has to offer, it gives us a legit chance to sign them.
Now, I have a feeling, you know, being a obviously a GM now, but a former player in this league, you're familiar with the guy that just sat down next to me, Derek Mason. Former Titans wide receiver. So, D-Mace, I know you wanted to talk to Rand. We'll bring you in officially.
Exactly. No, I just want to know how has it been for you? I didn't hear all the interview. Trying to park out there, you know, it's a madhouse. But there's space for him, so thank you. I appreciate it.
Like, yeah, he needs his own space.
The guy Marcus and the young lady, they were terrific. So, but how has it been for you? You've been here what? 5 months now, 6 months somewhere?
Yeah, 6-7 months. Who's counting? it's been really good, man. Like, you know, I'll forever say I'm in a unique spot in that it's not like it's a new GM, new head coach situation where you got to come in, you got to establish a way you want things done. You know, coming here and Mike's established, and Mike being one of the best coaches in this league, it makes it easier for me and my staff, particularly myself, Chad, and A-Rob, who are new, to just kind of come in. Learn the way, learn the culture of what it means to be a Titan, and then just add our little sugar, you know, on the top of that and to push this thing forward.
Now, did you already have in mind guys you wanted to bring with you if indeed you got an opportunity to be a GM? And lo and behold, you're here in Nashville, but you just mentioned the three guys. Are those three guys that you had in mind?
Yeah, you know, and again, I never worked with Chad before. Uh-huh. He was just someone that, you know, met out old and just always, you know, appreciated his perspective and just his background and everything he's done. And then, you know, A-Rob and I, we literally started our careers together in Atlanta. I'll never forget, you know, Atlanta Falcons, they have what we call apartments or dorms in the back of their facility that they use for training camp.
Which means y'all can't go home.
Pretty much. And so I get in late, you know, the night before my first day on the job, and they just like, hey, here's your key. Here's the room number, the building number. And so I go in, so I wake up the next morning, and I'm walking out, and there's this little short dude coming down the hallway, and I'm like, who the hell is this? And it was A-Rob.
Okay.
And so we literally walked over together, and then from there was just conversation. We're both from Florida. You know, we went to rival colleges. I went to Florida. He went to Florida State. His, you know, wife went to Florida State. My wife went to Florida.
Oh, man.
We had daughters that were the same age.
It was meant to be.
Yeah, he went to high school with guys I played with at Florida. So we just had so much, you know, in common. And just throughout the years, he was in Atlanta the whole time, and I went on to work for two other organizations, you know, prior to coming here. But he was just a person that became a colleague first and then a friend later, you know. And then we always maintain conversations, and just throughout the years, just talking philosophy. You know, he interviewed for the Atlanta, you know, GM job last year or 2 years ago, and, you know, just us talking about his process. And then I was able to interview for a couple jobs the following year. But just adding guys that come from unique backgrounds that are different from mine, you know, I think helps balance out this whole thing.
We're talking with Tennessee Titans GM Rand Carthon. Now, what has been, I wouldn't say difficult, challenging, I'm trying to look for the right word, because it all is difficult when you step into this role as a GM. But what has been the part that you sort of have had that challenge with or whatnot?
Time, you know, and realizing that time isn't mine anymore. Uh-huh. You know, so from the moment I step in, you know, to the building and my doors are open, you know, it's things, you know, whether it's handling something in scouting, you know, working with Mike through something, or, you know, having to go upstairs. Like Monday I had to do something I've never done before, which is speak at the Rotary Club. You know, I've never had to do that
I was
before.
There. You did a great job.
Thank you. So, you know.
You got many more of those to come.
You know, but it's just all those things. And so, you know, thank God I'm hardwired to be an early morning person. You know, so I get in here early to have what I call my me time. Mm-hmm. And I'm in my office generally, you know, it can range anywhere from 5:30 to 6:30. I'm here. I'm cranking through tape, you know, until about 7:45 before we have an 8 o'clock squad meeting, and then that's when my doors open. And then I'll stay later when everybody's gone and close my doors again, and, you know, blast my music and watch my tape, and then it's to the house.
We talked earlier. Rand Carthon is with us about tweaking the roster, and, you know, one position that I think you're evaluating is kicker, as you got a couple guys here in camp. But kind of where are you with that process, and do you feel confident that the two guys that are here, one of them is going to be kicking for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're here, that's why they're under contract. Yeah. We got confidence in them that they can get it done, you know. But it's just like anything else, man. You have a roster full of guys, but then you also got to have a ready list for if something comes up and you know you need to fill one of those spots. So, you know, we want to give these young guys the opportunity to kick and prove themselves, and we'll see how they do.
Willie, I know you got one more.
Yeah, Rand, I have admired, you just mentioned first year, and Derek's asking you a couple, you know, questions about just getting into the flow of being the main guy and being out on the forefront and speaking publicly. I think you look really comfortable and sound really comfortable in these press conferences. I also think it's been interesting you brought some of your colleagues with you today. I know Chad Brinker took some questions, and I've got one along those lines. With DeAndre Hopkins, he talked about it a lot yesterday. The comfort level, the relationship he already has with Tim Kelly and, of course, Mike Vrabel. They got a great year together in 2019, a huge year for DeAndre Hopkins. When you looked at the process and you work with Chad, you talk to Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly about, you know, here he is in this stage of his career. He's a little bit older than he was back then. But when you try to crunch all the numbers and look at what he's done, how do you try to come up with, here's the value of this player now as opposed to 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, and D. Mace has gone through it. You know, when you get to a certain part of your career, you know, as a receiver, you know, people tend to count you out or, you know, don't want to, quote, unquote, pay you as much. But, you know, when we ran the numbers, we felt comfortable with where D-Hop is and what we can get out of him. You know, but I think more than anything, you know, and Derek was wired a certain way. You got to get guys that are wired the right way, you know, who want something to prove. And, you know, when we came to terms with D-Hop, you know, he and I were on the phone and I was just like, hey, man, like your agent says we're good, but I want to hear from your mouth that we're good, you know. And he was like, yeah, man, we're good. He was like, you're getting a dog. And it was funny he said that because I had just literally heard an interview that Jerry West did where they were referring to Jerry West as a dog. And Jerry West said, no, I'm a wolf. Wolves eat dogs. You know? And so when Hop said, I'm a dog, I was like, nah, I don't need a dog. I need a wolf. Uh-huh. You know, I need a wolf. And so that's what I've been calling him ever since we got him here, was a young wolf. But, again, that's a testament to how he's wired. You know, he knows that – he knows what people are saying. You know, whether he shows it outwardly or not, he knows what people are saying. And so he's out to prove to people not only that he can still play, but that he made the right decision in coming here.
Well, and I'll tell you this, that, you know, I know we're not supposed to report on a lot of things, but I'm watching him right now and just the communication. You can tell he's trying to be a sponge early on first day of camp. And I know as the general manager, you have to love that, because that's a guy that, as Raves has said, I want guys that want to be here. It seems like that's what he wants.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and I think from the moment we met with him, he wanted to be here.
Yeah.
It was just us making it all make sense. And so I think that, again, that made it easy. And, again, it was his familiarity with Raves, you know, with Timmy. He and I hitting it off. We had some mutual friends who, you know, we were able to call and joke with, you know, while we were doing the process. You know, Ryan Tannehill was a part of it. You know, he and his wife Lauren came to dinner with us that night when we, you know, hosted Hop. And again, I'll forever say it's the city. You know, it's the city of Nashville.
It's not too bad.
I mean, you look, I was, and I know you guys are probably going to laugh at me, but I don't care. I was at the Beyonce concert.
Nice.
You know, the other night. And I won't say who, but I seen several NFL players that I know live here now that, you know, that aren't Titans. Mm-hmm. But it shows you what this city is and why people want to be here, you know. And I'm fortunate to be here and to be able to, you know, have a skill set where I can connect with people and then share this city with them and make them want to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for stopping by and doing this. I know you want to go watch your first practice here, but it'll be a fun journey, and I know we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it.
Thanks. Rand Carthon, Titans general manager with us. More coming. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe Show, live today, Titans training camp. Nick Frazier back at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. I'm here. Willie Donick is in Baton Rouge hanging out with us today. And appreciate Rand Carthon, Titans GM, for joining us. And he's standing there talking to his newest receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, right now. So D-Hop is out here today. D-Mace is sitting here watching the receivers. I mean, we're lucky the receivers are right here in front of us, Willie. And a big group, as Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are going to, you know, there's the obvious ones that we know are making the team, but, you know, probably 4, 5, and 6, there's a battle right now between several guys.
As there is every year when you get down to it. And now, one of the things that, look, and if there's ever a topic that we spent probably too much time talking about, it was, should they sign DeAndre Hopkins? And if they do, what does it look like? And one of the number one reasons why it was worth doing was that it does seem to slot everybody in the right role. Chase, you know about the way a team constructs a bullpen, all right, or a pitching rotation, right? When you can have a staff that's not all that great, but you get that one ace, and then it slots everybody in the right place. A guy may not be the best number three starter, but he's a great number four. Or you know, a guy that maybe isn't a great closer, but he's an excellent setup man. So we don't know if DeAndre Hopkins is still an ace as a number one receiver, but it does look like it puts everybody else in a comfortable spot where they should be, and that's worth something for sure.
Well, and I don't even know if he has to be an ace. Like, you know, the hope is that
I agree.
Treylon Burks becomes the ace. That's what you're looking for. You're just wanting, you know, production or And maybe this is the wrong phrase, but, you know, in the with the Predators, we've always heard the phrase secondary scoring. I mean, you're kind of looking for that. And D-Hop can, you know, obviously make defenses treat you differently because he's on the field. And so, you know, and like we've talked about, help Treylon Burks take a little pressure off of him, get him to that point where he becomes the ace. But, I mean, look, if we're just being honest, right now, if you're ranking receivers, DeAndre Hopkins is number one until Treylon Burks takes it from him. That's kind of how I look at it, and I think that's how the coaches look at it.
Sure. And I agree with you that he doesn't have to be, you know, the perfect number one for it to be an effective move. The key to anything is he helping the team be a better team. And if he has a solid but not spectacular season, it may not be what DeAndre Hopkins sees as a perfect scenario, but from the Titans' end, if it makes Burks better, if it makes Derrick Henry better, if it makes Ryan Tannehill better, then there's huge value in that, even if the individual numbers for Hopkins aren't great. I think that's one thing that we're all curious to know is, as they carve out the roles, who ends up getting the ball? How many times, and can this offense go from, you know, bottom 10, maybe even bottom 6, you know, if you look at, depending on what set of numbers you're looking at, you know, up into that middle tier? Because you can paint a scenario, hey, look, if you give me the 15th best offense, I'll take that, because the defense might be good enough to keep you in every game, and we know Mike Vrabel's teams tend to be very good in the close games.
Coming up next, the Titans have a conundrum, but I don't think it's a bad one that we will discuss. We're live today, training camp at St. Thomas Sports Park. And again, our training camp coverage is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, and Caudle Vet Clinic here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.